Hello, and welcome to another episode of Starside Chat. I am one of your hosts, Zach, and joining me as always is Aaron.
Hello.
And we're going to talk about games that we've been playing, but also some news.
Yes, we got to start out with some sad news this week.
Yeah, I did see this. Akira Toriyama, the man behind Dragon Ball, has passed away, sadly. I don't know about you, but recently I guess it's been like maybe a year or two now, but I picked up, there was that book that came out that was like Akira Toriyama's manga theater or something like that.
Oh.
I don't know if you saw that, but I picked that up because I was like, yeah, this is like cool stuff. And I haven't gone through it yet because I'm bad about like, I'll be super excited to get a book and then I'll get it and then I'll get distracted by other things and it'll sit on a shelf for a long time before I actually get to it. But
yeah.
But yeah, Dragon Ball was great, part of our childhood probably, growing up.
I have a controversial opinion. Okay. Maybe not. I think that Dragon Ball maybe is better than Dragon Ball Z.
You might be right about that.
Because I mean, Dragon Ball Z, I grew up with. That was the first one I watched. Probably a lot of people watched because it was Toonami. But going back and watching Dragon Ball, it's just like so charming. And it's not always about prolonged fights. It's generally like some kooky stuff is going on. But I don't know. Probably the most prolific person in anime, I would think. Like very influential.
Yeah, like around the world, everybody knows Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z. Like they recognize those characters immediately. And that's not always the case with a lot of anime. But so yeah. Cool show that I definitely remember growing up with, and I remember in college watching through of Dragon Ball Z because like one of the guys in my dorm had like the entire series on like DVD or something like that, and I borrowed them. Whoa. And it was just like this communal thing where we started watching through, which was pretty fun.
That's great.
And yeah, Dragon Ball Super is a show I watched like probably a few years ago now. I was watching through a bunch of that, but.
Did that conclude, or is it still going?
You know, I don't know off the top of my head, but...
Well, rest in power, Akira Toriyama.
Yeah.
That Sandland game is coming out later this year, based on another property he made.
So, speaking of things that may come out this year, this last week, Video Games Chronicle had an article about how EA is confident that Dragon Age Dreadwolf will release this year. Supposedly, Jeff Grubb of Giant Bomb is claiming that it'll probably pop up this summer as like a trailer, maybe, where it'll be shown and they'll announce like a release date for it. But yeah, it is a game I'm looking forward to. I don't know if it will come out this year, but
we haven't seen any trailers for it, right? We've just seen like the logo.
There have been like teasers that haven't really given you much of anything to go off of. We had that gameplay leak where we saw like some of it in action, but there's not been like an official trailer to show like gameplay and the direction they're sort of taking it. But
do you think this shows up at Summer Games Fest, or do you think it shows up at Microsoft's press conference?
That's a good question. I mean, if you count that as part of Summer Games Fest, then...
Yeah, I guess that technically.
But, I mean...
Opening night, whatever it's called.
I would have predicted, you know, a full reveal for Dragon Age Dreadwolf this summer anyway. But now that this we have this little report out, I feel like it's definitely going to happen. Even if it doesn't... Like, maybe it'll get pushed to next year. But I can see it being, like, fully revealed this summer. And then they'll, like, target a fall sort of end of the year release window, and then it could get pushed back, but according to this, they're confident that it'll release this year. So
We shall see.
And speaking of BioWare stuff, I did see this. I like board games. I'm not huge on board games, but supposedly Mass Effect is going to get a board game. I'm very curious how this would work. But it is from Modiphius Entertainment, which has also published like the Skyrim adventure game and the Fallout role-playing game. which I have not played, but I don't know about you. Would you be interested in a board game version of Mass Effect?
I don't know. I am interested in more Mass Effect. And I like the idea of some board games, but like you, I've never really been... I mean, everybody played Settlers of Catan when they were in college, but that's pretty much like the most complicated board game I've ever played. And I know that like that hobby has really taken off in recent years. Like Gen Con is a huge deal now, but I get the appeal of having like a well-made board game that has like little tokens and like figures that you put on a very like well-illustrated player mat and stuff, but I don't know that I would purchase this. I'm trying to think of an IP that I would purchase a board game of, and I don't know. Even like Hollow Knight, that would probably make an interesting board game, but I don't know that I would purchase. I don't know how often I would play it, is the thing, because you have to like physically get together with a group of
people.
That's
the reason I say I'm not normally that super into board games. Like, I think they're cool and fun, but how often am I, you know, actually going to be able to play it? But this, according to this GameSpot article, is a co-op game up to four players, features branching campaigns set during the events of Mass Effect 3, and adapts to player choice on the fly. You investigate a crashed research ship formerly owned by Cerberus.
Interesting.
So, I mean, I think that's interesting, especially like if it's a co-op thing that you can play with like two people even, and you're like into Mass Effect, that would be like interesting to see how it plays out. But let's talk Helldivers 2.
Still going strong.
I need to get back into it. I do want to play more of it. And maybe this will be something that really piques my interest and gets me to jump back in. But Helldivers 2, supposedly mechs are coming very soon. I know there was like footage of, I want to say that was like a hack though, where you saw like mech footage in the game. And so it's been like long speculated and requested that they add mechs to the game. Because like when you're fighting the robots, there are already mechs in the game, so to speak, from like the enemies, but you could not control them. And I assume that that's something that, you know, they should be able to do based on the fact that they already have mechs in the game. But
do you think they'll ever add mechs to Starfield? There was that whole subplot where mechs used to exist.
Yeah, I think that's probably hopefully in the works. I know recently I remember seeing like this big article about a bunch of like updates and fixes and things that they were dropping in Starfield recently, and everybody was like, oh, is this gonna have like some sort of vehicle for, you know, traversal on planets? And you know, people want that, but I don't think that it does include that. The most recent patch that added like, I don't know, hundreds of like little fixes to things, but they need to start like dropping big, you know, features and, you know, additional content for that game. But
speaking of dropping features, this isn't in our show notes because we don't have this section in our show notes anymore, but did you see they added hoverboards to Destiny?
Oh really? How does that work? Is it like a sparrow, but you just stand on it kind of Back to the Future style?
Yeah, it's a sparrow, but better apparently, because it allows you to just like go in a straight line and never lose any like elevation, so you can like clip out of things. Like it allows you to skip a whole bunch of crazy stuff, I think. And I do think it's you have to unlock it. It's part of the Guardian games. I don't know what that is, but I've been seeing a lot of clips of people just like, you basically do this thing where you're on it and then you sort of turn it sideways and you start to grind on nothing, and then you could just go, it seems, infinitely. And I don't know if the videos I'm seeing are like they're glitching it in some way, but I think it's just made to just go infinitely if you do that, so you can get to a bunch of really weird places.
If I were still playing that game, that would be very interesting to me, but I think I'm out. Like we talked about that, you know, like a few weeks ago when they added, you know, Mass Effect stuff to Destiny. Yeah. I was like, yeah, this would be really cool if I was still playing this game, but I'm out.
Yeah, I'm out as well.
But being in on things, let's talk about how Sony has supposedly secured the Final Fantasy VII Remake Trilogy as a console exclusive. Although this is a little bit of a weird story because it was reported by the Washington Post about how they secured the trilogy as a console exclusive, but then they had to update it later and be like, wait. They've not confirmed the entire trilogy just yet. So far, just Remake and Rebirth.
The way I heard this reported was somebody from the Final Fantasy VII team was like, yeah, we wanted it to be completely seamless, and for that reason, we only wanted it to be on one console.
I mean, we talk about, you know, Xbox and their exclusive games going to other consoles and how that was like a big deal there for a while. And everybody was like, well, it might not be if Sony's kind of doing the same thing. The only way that it's not like bad for the Xbox brand and for the future of, you know, Xbox consoles is if Sony's like, yeah, we also need to get our games out there on as many platforms as possible for, you know, finance reasons. Let's just like stop with this exclusivity thing and start getting all of our, you know, exclusive games on Xbox and Switch. But they're doing the opposite now. They are locking down the Final Fantasy VII Remake Trilogy. So I don't think that that is the case. I think there were some people that were like, you know, Sony's in the same boat. They're going to do the same thing. And I think this is evidence that maybe that's not the case. So
do you think the third one will be, I think the third one will definitely be cross platform, but do you think it'll be to the point where the PlayStation 6 is like imminent when it's being released?
Yeah, I mean, it could be a cross-gen release, or it could be just like a PlayStation 6, you know, exclusive. So,
because the first one was cross-gen. I played it on PS4.
Yeah. Yeah, so, it could be. I don't know. Like, generations of consoles are a little weird these days, so it's hard to predict how they're gonna handle that. But
it feels like they pumped out Remake pretty fast compared to, because when did Remake come out versus Rebirth? I feel like the development time was less than 4 years.
Remake was 2020.
Okay, so it was 4 years.
Yeah, which I mean that probably tracks. They did all the heavy lifting for the last one, and then they were just able to like, you know, focus on content or whatever for the second one. But I will say I've played a little bit more this week. I haven't played a ton more, so I don't have a whole lot to add to the conversation from last week about it, other than I have made it to Costa del Sol.
Did you hop on that segue?
I did. They do something interesting with the DualSense adaptive triggers where it like gets harder to pull the trigger because that's what you use to like basically hit the gas to move. Mm-hmm. And so depending on how hard you pull the trigger is how fast you go. So you can go slow or you can go as fast as it can go, depending on how hard you pull the trigger. The other thing I wanted to note about Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is that it looks a little soft in performance mode. I haven't actually switched it over to what is it?
Graphics mode?
Yeah, graphics mode. So I can't like compare and contrast exactly how sharp it looks, you know, from one to the other, but it does look a little soft in performance mode. And there was talk this last week about how they were going to issue a patch to sort of make it look a little bit better.
I saw that, yeah.
In performance mode. So we didn't have that in the show notes, but that's something worth noting. So hopefully they're able to do that pretty soon. But yeah, there was a funny scene. I don't know if this would be considered a spoiler. It's not like a big thing. It's not like a story beat, but it's like a funny thing that you see in the game. But there's a part of the game before you get to Costa del Sol where you like ride a boat to get there. And some stuff happens there, but there's like a tournament for Queen's Blood. that you can either choose to partake in or kind of opt out of. But I decided to do all of it, which was fine. I kind of enjoy that little mini game, so I've been playing it when I have the opportunity to do so. But it was funny because Red 13 wants to partake in it, and obviously he is an animal, and so they're like, no, you are an animal. You can't play this game. And so he's like, man, that's a bummer. All right. But then he like sort of exits for a while. You don't see him for a little while as you're running around doing the you know, each stage of the tournament. And eventually he like reappears, but he's like wearing like the soldier armor and standing upright. And so, yeah, he's walking around on his hind legs and trying to appear like a normal human. And it's one of those things where everybody in your party is like, oh, that's Red 13. What is he doing? And everybody else is like, look at this new human who has arrived. What's he doing here? I guess
I am excited to see that. In the original game, because this is one of the things when they were talking about making this game, I was like, how are they going to do this? Because in the original game, you're just on that ship, and then there's a period of time where you're kind of exploring, and you can see all your party members doing different things. And Red 13 is standing upright, but since he's like a dog or whatever, he's kind of just like tipping back and forth, because it's like pixelated. It's like super old graphics. But I was like, man, how are they going to pull this off in like modern looking graphics? So I'm excited that that has returned.
It's very funny. I was laughing out loud during that scene. So, definitely worth playing through the Queen's Blood tournament, if only to see that scene. But did you catch this Fallout TV show trailer that dropped?
Yes. I am optimistic about this. How did this look to you? I have to say, I didn't hate this.
I didn't hate it either. I am a little bit into it. I love Fallout, so I was very, I guess, optimistic, or maybe cautiously optimistic for what it would turn into once it finally came out. But this trailer, I think, looks pretty good. I don't know.
It seems like they're nailing the tone. I was a little sad there. So I really like that guy from Lost. I don't know his real name, but Benjamin Linus from Lost. He has a cool vibe, and he is in this show, but I think he's probably only in it for like an episode, because in this trailer, you can see he gets like his leg blown off. So I would say he's probably not long for that world. But I mean, it seems like they showed Matt Berry as the robot, which was cool.
Oh, was he?
I think that was his voice.
I'm going to have to go back and rewatch that and listen to
it. Maybe it was not. Maybe I misheard that. But it seemed like his voice. But I'm into this. And I also didn't realize, I should have known, but in the trailer it was like every episode releasing on, it's in April, right?
I think so, yeah. This is coming April 11th.
So it's not going to be a weekly thing. We're just going to get it all, which is nice.
Yeah, I will watch this for sure when it comes out and we can talk about it.
Yeah, we should do a little special episode on it.
Yeah.
I'm not super, like, I've never completed a Fallout game. So I don't know a lot of the lore. I played the most of New Vegas, but
like New Fallout Vegas 3 is great. I think that one's my favorite of them, but I do have a lot of like nostalgic memories for Fallout 3.
I play a lot of Fallout 3 on Xbox 360, but I don't think I ever really progressed the main plot. I just sort of wandered around and did side stuff. Like most Bethesda games, I mostly ignore the main plot.
Yeah. I think the main plot is pretty strong in New Vegas. And yes, there's a lot of interesting like side content to that game as well. I think I only ever played one of the DLCs for that game, but yeah, that game is great. I liked Fallout 4. I think it was maybe weaker than 3 and New Vegas, but I still enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I did play some 76, but I think that game has had like sort of a long tail that people have begun to enjoy. Like it was really bad at launch, but they've sort of turned the conversation on that.
I think they've Elder Scrolls'd it, where like now it is what people want.
Yeah, like when ESO launched and it was like not great, and now like years later, it's like this game that has a big player base and it's generally well liked.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how big the player base is for 76, but I think the people that do play it are generally enjoying it, and they have added a ton of content to it over the years. So sadly, they got. Do you remember that there was like a battle royale they added there for a while that one summer?
I don't remember that.
It was like they announced it during E3, and it was like I think we even did a video on it on the channel.
I don't remember that at all.
I forget what it was called, but there was like briefly for a time, 76 added a little battle royale mode to it that was actually kind of fun. I'm going to have to go back and watch our video just to refresh my memory on it. But yeah, that was a short-lived thing that they did that I was like a little bit bummed when they shut that down. Because I was like, yeah, I get it. There's probably not a player base for that. But like a cool, fun, interesting idea.
Zach, I've got some Apex Legends news for you.
All right. Let me hear it. Because I have not played Apex Legends in a while, but I'm interested in getting back into it at some point.
EA's CEO was maybe on some call or did a press conference about Apex, and he said a couple of things. Most importantly, he said Apex Legends will expand beyond the Battle Royale, offering new modes in the new year. So they already sort of have that in Apex Legends, but this, I think, is framed as a different game, maybe. They also said that Respawn is working on a new game in the Titanfall Apex Legends universe with Titans involved, but it's not Titanfall 3.
Interesting. I wonder if they would do something like a Helldivers.
That's interesting. I don't know. Apparently there was a Titanfall-esque game in the works at Respawn where you played as the guy from Titanfall 2, not the main character, but the Apex guy. Like, I think his name was like Lusk or something, or Brusk or Brisk. Whatever, the bad guy who gets away, who's like, good job, but I'm out of here. You would play as him and you would run into the other legends throughout the course of the game, but that got canceled. But I think they are trying to lean into the Apex Legends brand and create new content within that universe. So
I mean, that's the thing now. Like, Fortnite has that Lego Fortnite, and they've got all kinds of other stuff going on in that outside of like the main Fortnite mode. And like, this is what Microsoft was talking about when they talked about, you know, wanting to expand beyond just like console exclusivity. They were like, you have to build a platform in and of itself. And that sounds like what they're trying to do with Apex Legends now, which I think is great. Expand it as much as possible, because not only are they great at making games that feel really good to play, but they have like such a big, interesting universe to work with. So I'm on board if they want to expand Apex Legends and add additional modes and sort of even bring in people that might not normally play that type of game.
Now, this wasn't in our show notes, but did you see that Cowboy Bebop trailer they released for Overwatch 2?
No, you told me about this, but I did not go back and watch it.
They released a trailer this week that had, I'm actually not sure how like in-game it was. It was basically the opening for Cowboy Bebop, but they had the character models for like what you're going to be able to unlock in Overwatch 2. And I got to say, it looks pretty good. I don't think it's going to get me to play Overwatch 2, but the implementation of this crossover is they're like nailing, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, that's another one where they've got like a solid base game and like an interesting universe, and they could just start building it out and expand it with additional modes and features and you know, have all these sort of crossover events where they're bringing in, you know, skins and just like events that feature properties outside of the universe and get people to come in and want to play it. So if they want to expand Apex Legends and Overwatch and start having like Lego Fortnite type of experiences within the game, I mean, I'm all for that. So
I am as well. We're recording this on Mario Day, Zach.
Oh, that's true. It is Mario Day, isn't it?
It's Mario Day, and Nintendo released a little, a very little, like, 2-minute video talking about they are announcing a sequel to the Mario movie.
Yeah, same directors, and I think they are targeting 2026 for a release.
I think like April 3rd or something. On they went down to the exact date, which is kind of crazy.
I have not seen the movie since I initially watched it, but the first one. But I was thinking about it just the other day. I was like, I should watch that again, or just like pick it up just to have as like a thing I can put on in the background. Mm-hmm. A thing I thought about, but we didn't address during the Fallout TV show thing is just sort of comparing and contrasting the approach to like casting for these video game tie-in or like video game adaptations. I think Fallout is doing it right the way that I would hope for them to do it versus how the Borderlands movie or even the Mario movies have done it, where that was my big thing when we talked about the Borderlands trailer, right? Where you have these people that are too recognizable. Yeah. And so it feels like them in cosplay. Whereas in the Fallout show, you really just have the one actor that's like actually recognizable. And even him, he's been in a lot of TV things, but he's not like The Rock. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody else is sort of an unknown or like a relative newcomer. And so you don't immediately go, oh, what's Kate Blanchett doing in Fallout?
Yeah.
You know, so I think they're doing that right in terms of casting. That's sort of how I want them to do it. And like we love to joke about, you know, Chris Pratt being Mario.
Well, but it's funny because so if you watch the Mario Day video they released this morning, it starts with Shigeru Miyamoto and he's like, hey, you know, it's Mario Day and we're making a sequel to the Mario Brothers movie. And we're really excited about it. And now let's hear from Chris-san. I was like, oh, man, we're about to see Chris Pratt right now. but no, it was Chris Meledandri, I think is how you say his name, from Illumination, who's just some like old guy. And he was like, hey, what's up? I'm Illumination, and we're very excited about it or whatever. He says like a bunch of like CEO speak. and he cuts back to Miyamoto.
The other thing, I don't know whether we knew this before, but at the very end of that Mario Day trailer, they're like, hey, also, Paper Mario, The Thousand Year Door is coming out May 25th.
I don't know. And they also had a reminder about Luigi's Mansion 2 HD coming out on June 27th.
Yeah, I did see that Wario64 guy on Twitter release some like screenshots for it, or he at least posted them wherever he got them. But yeah, it looks good. I gotta say, I like Luigi's Mansion, and this is the one I've not played. So
I'm excited to pick this up and check it out. Third one really charmed me.
The third one's so good. I would definitely go back and play this one when they release it for Switch. So I'm also a little bit curious about the Paper Mario game as well, because it's so beloved. But
yeah,
also
people love it.
Also, like, even stuff like Hollow Knight was a little bit inspired by, like, the charm system in Hollow Knight was supposedly pulled from Paper Mario. And obviously, I like Super Mario RPG, and the old Paper Mario games, not the more recent ones, were, like, spiritual successors to Super Mario RPG. So I guess not knowing the history of Paper Mario, I don't know where this specific one falls, but I think it's, you know, sort of still like that, but I guess we'll find out. So speaking of movie adaptations, is Watch Dogs going to finally get a movie?
Watch Dogs is one of those things similar to The Division, where right after the game came out, we heard news articles saying like, this is being optioned to be a movie. The Vision was like going to star Jake Gyllenhaal, and I don't think that's happening anymore. But this is, I maybe been in like development hell for quite some time. But supposedly, a Watch Dogs movie is moving forward now, and it has a director and a writer and a star. Sophie Wilde, I think is her name, is going to be the main protagonist, which I'm very glad they're not going with Aiden Pierce because I hated him as a character.
I think everybody, he's like a joke at this point.
I hated when he showed up. I did do in Watch Dogs 2, I did the like mission where you could like get him out of jail or whatever. And you briefly talk to him as the main character from Watch Dogs 2, but that was the extent of it. But yeah, this is Matthew Turi is taking the reins as director. I don't really know what else he has done. He's also, I guess, working on a live action TV adaptation of A Plague Tale: Innocence is another thing. He is another project he has going on right now.
See, but now that makes sense to me. Those specifically those games getting like movie adaptations, they're more or less already sort of that as it is, with just like some playable stealth sections and some like puzzle, light puzzle solving. But
I have often said I think Watch Dogs 2 would be the best to be adapted into a movie because it's basically Hackers 2. Hackers, my favorite movie that I've talked about numerous times on this podcast. I think we even did we used to do those podcasts that specifically about specific movies. And I think we did one on Hackers because I love it so much. And Watch Dogs 2 is a very similar vibe to like a modern day version of Hackers, where it's a group of teens, and this was set in San Francisco. But I mean, they're talking about relevant stuff, and they, at one point you do hack the planet basically, which is a great reference to the movie. But I don't know. I feel like this works better as a team, kind of like that Sneakers movie, as well as another one that I watch sometimes, but
that's also a great movie. Yeah.
Another great movie. And I think the reason that Hackers works and that Sneakers works is because it's a cool little team of people that all have different specialties. And so I don't know if I'm super into this being like just a central singular
protagonist. Yeah.
Because I'm worried they're going to fall into the trap of like, oh, this is what people like about Watch Dogs. They like that he was wronged and he's like an anti-hero who's like getting back at people. And I don't know that I want that tone. Yeah. I sort of want the tone from Watch Dogs 2. But I mean, it's too early, I guess, to tell what exactly they're doing. But it's crazy to me that this is happening because I feel like this is a little bit like the Borderlands movie where,
or it's too late.
Yeah, it's releasing and people are like, why is this happening? This came out in like 6 years ago, I guess, if we're going to watch it. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. It is a day late and a dollar short for sure. Yeah. They should definitely have done this several years ago, or at least like, you know, sort of plan it where they can have like a new game coming out and sort of not necessarily directly tie it in, but at least like have proximity with the release. So yeah. Watch Dogs, the game series, is still somewhat in the zeitgeist, but
I never played. I just realized I never played Watch Dogs Legion.
I love that game. I know like there are a lot of criticisms about how, because you don't actually have a central protagonist, because you're able to just like go recruit anyone off the streets and then that's just like your main character. And so like it does get a little awkward where like, you know, one of the characters you played for like 10 hours just died and you had to swap to a different character that you just recruited. And now they're like the central person in the next cutscene. And it's like, what's going on here? You're like, yeah. You shouldn't be as like vocal and in charge of what's happening right now, given the fact that you just joined us like 5 minutes ago. But
yeah,
so I get that as a criticism. But like the fact that you're just like going around recruiting different people and everybody has like sort of a different skill set and like different items and all of that, and you can like, that to me was so much fun. I think the idea of it maybe works a little bit better than it does in practice, but I wouldn't hate it if that was the direction they went moving forward and they gave us another Watch Dogs Legion style game. But maybe they were a little bit smarter about how they wrote those characters into the story.
Do you think they're making another one right now, another Watch Dogs? Yeah, I feel like they it's not out of the realm of possibility.
I guess I don't know how well Legion sold. So it's hard to say if that's like something they're immediately like, oh yeah, we got to turn around and get another one going. But
yeah,
I feel like Watch Dogs is a little bit more niche compared to some of the other. Is that a Tom Clancy thing as well?
Oh, is it? I don't know.
I actually don't know that it is. Maybe it's not. But I know like Ubisoft has like, you know, all these different Tom Clancy things that they have. So I never remember because I think of it in sort of a similar vein as like The Division, even though it's not. But
yeah.
Speaking of Tom Clancy, just the other day, I rewatched the movie The Sum of All Fears. Do you remember that one?
Is that the Ben Affleck one?
Yeah, the Ben Affleck one. And at the time it came out, I wasn't like super hot on it, but rewatching it, it was like more interesting than I think I gave it credit for.
Those are all a couple of years ago. I watched all, I was in a big watching young Harrison Ford movies phase like last year. And so I watched the two Jack Ryan movies where he is Jack Ryan.
Yeah.
Both of which are great. Yeah, and then I think I watched the other ones too. I think I watched the Hunt for Red October? Is that?
Yeah, Hunt for Red October is great. That one may be my favorite of the Jack Ryan movies. Yeah, that one's really good. Movies, but yeah, the two Harrison Ford ones are also very good.
And I think I did watch the Ben Affleck one, but I don't really remember it. It's Morgan Freeman's in it, right?
Yeah, Morgan Freeman is in it, and I definitely remember like the big sequence for that one is like where they're at the, you know, the football stadium, and the president's there, and Morgan Freeman is there with him, and Ben Affleck's like desperately trying to reach them and be like, "Hey, there's a nuclear bomb at the stadium. Somebody rigged it up, and you got to get him out of there." And then like the bomb goes off, and it's like crazy, but I definitely remember that one. And then there was another one with like Chris Pine that I thought was like very forgettable.
Yeah, I remember I there was an article about that show when it came out. It was an Amazon show. It came out and
you're thinking of the Jim Halpert one.
Yes, I am.
The TV show
yeah.
had Jim Halpert in it, which I did not watch. But I'm talking about the movie that had Chris Pine.
I forgot about that, it. Yeah.
See? It's so forgettable. You didn't even remember it.
Yeah.
Case in point. But yeah, I don't know how the Amazon show is, actually.
I saw an article on Polygon when it came out that was talking. They did a really dumb thing where a guy used like a Sega Genesis to hack something. And it was just like clearly the showrunners have never used a video game console before. I forget what it was. It was something where like he has to like look at an encrypted disc or something, so he finds an old PS2 and then like turns it into a computer or something, or I don't remember exactly what it is, but I wasn't gonna watch it anyway, but that was like, oh yeah, this looks dumb, but I should maybe watch that Chris Pine one. I forgot about that existed. I like all those other Jack Ryan movies.
Yeah, maybe I should revisit it, and maybe I just was not super hot on it when it initially came out, but
I like Chris Pine. He was great in the Dungeons and Dragons movie.
I have been meaning to watch that because it is on Amazon Prime, but
it's
have not.
It's really good. I have to say it's really, really good.
I've heard it's good. I just have not watched it yet, but I will probably do that at some point. Speaking of things that we're going to watch, let's talk about stuff we are playing and watching because I'm very excited to talk to you about Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth.
I've started Infinite Wealth. I'm liking it. I have made it to Hawaii. So where I'm in the story is I'm in Chapter 3. I just, what just happened? I just did the introduction to Crazy Delivery, or whatever it's called, and I was going to go buy my passport back, even though I already had $30, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, I do remember that.
I had like $500, but then the taxi cab guy told me his tale about how he had a pregnant wife who I assume did have the child and didn't miscarry. And he got hooked up with the Barracudas or whatever. And he has decided to come join us. So my next stop is to go find that cop Roman to figure out how to, I guess, get into the Barracuda's territory.
Yeah, that's an interesting sequence for sure. I don't know about you, but I like took my time with it so much that I probably spent a solid like 30 hours just running around doing random stuff within the first like three or four chapters of the game.
I will probably do that because I got to the point where for like I did that a ton at the beginning. And then when I got to Hawaii, I felt a little overpowered. But I just got to the point they introduced that thing where it's like, hey, some gangs will stay there until you defeat them.
Yeah, they have, the ones with the crowns.
Yeah. And I tried to do one of those and immediately got wrecked. And so I was like, oh, I need to grind a little bit, I think. So I might just wander around.
Yeah, so the color designation is like, if it's purple, they're above your level, so you might have a hard time. And then if it's red, they're roughly your level. And if it's blue, you're like way over leveled in. You can actually like fast, you just hit a button and it'll automatically do it for you.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah, and then if they have a crown on their head, that's like a special, almost like an area boss, basically. Yeah. And so if you run into a purple one that has a crown, you're probably going to struggle with that. And so I did a lot of save scumming where I would just see them and I'd be like, okay, I'm going to save it and then go. And if I die, then I'll just reload my save and whatever. But there's that little like grassy area that's over there that's sort of just down the road from like that shrine sort of in the northeast corner of the map. And like that area, it was like all purple enemies for me when I first got there. And so I was able to like sort of chart my progression as I was running around. Eventually those all became red because I had leveled up enough. And it's interesting going in there because there's like it's a Pokemon reference, basically. There's like a fat sort of sumo guy that's just like laying down asleep in the sort of blocking the path to go actually into the grassy area that's like fenced in. And so you take that guy out and then you can run around in there freely, but there's like a bunch of items to get and there's like a bunch of enemies to fight. So I like, once I cleared all of that, I was like, oh yeah, I'm like definitely leveled up enough that I'm going to be able to take on this next like story beat.
Interesting.
Just fine.
Yeah, I think I'm going to pause on the main story now for a while and just sort of wander around. I have run into a couple of side quest things, but the most memorable one probably is that dating app thing that I tried.
Yeah.
which I don't know the benefit of doing that, but I did the first one just because it walks you through it. Is there a benefit to doing more of that?
You know, I don't know. That is one of the things I didn't go all the way through. But there is, like, I've been thinking about diving back in at some point to knock out the platinum because I'm, like, not that far from getting the platinum, I think.
Yeah.
And one of the trophies is to, I think, complete that or do, like, so many of the dates or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so that probably will be a thing I go back and do eventually. But I think I only did it maybe once or twice. But it's an interesting little sort of mini game that you can do.
It is crazy. It's very unique. But I'm liking it so far. I have to say it's the only times where I've been not into it are the times when combat has dragged on a little far, which hasn't happened often because I've been like engaging with street gangs pretty often to the point where I'm leveled up pretty well and like on par with things I'm running into. But I also like, I don't know. I feel like I really want to get to that. What is it? Dundoko Island?
Yeah, Dundoko Island, which I want to say is chapter 6, maybe.
Okay, it's so I have a ways to go.
So yeah, you got to get through a couple chapters and then you'll get there.
So maybe I will also, I don't know. Maybe I'll continue to do the main story until I can get to that because I'm very interested in that.
Yeah, like knock that out and get Dondoko Beam and just like one shot everybody.
Does it cost money to use?
No, it costs MP, which you can refill, but it's like pretty an expensive MP cost.
Yeah.
And then like obviously you'll have, I don't know if you have this yet, but you can get the Pound Mates.
Yes, I just got that.
That does cost money, but Dondoko Beam is just an MP cost. So
when do you get jobs again?
That unlocks eventually. I don't remember when that unlocks, but you that sort of slow, I feel like it slowly rolls out to you, because you also have to like go to this, it's like a travel agency basically, and you go talk to them and they're like, you can buy a couple of additional, it's like doing an activity sort of that unlocks another class, and then you can go into like this changing booth and like swap your classes up. But I don't remember what chapter that unlocks in, but you're probably relatively close, I want to say, to being able to do that. But I'm excited to see what you what classes you get into and sort of what you think of the different story beats. So I think we'll be returning to more discussion on
for sure. Yeah, I will continue to play it and report back.
And yeah, as I continue to make progress in Final Fantasy VII, we can talk more about that as well. But in the absence of more progress in that game, I have spent some quality time with my Steam Deck this week. And I put a little bit more time into Balatro, got another win in that. But the interesting thing for this week is I have played a new game on it, and it is Deep Rock Galactic Survivor.
Oh, how is it?
It's very fun. It's very addicting. It is a, you know, that Vampire Survivors-like game that's set in the Deep Rock Galactic universe. I never played the main Deep Rock Galactic game, but this is very fun. And it's like, you know, a top-down sort of isometric auto shooter where you're just like trying to avoid enemies as they come at you and attack you. And the guns that you're getting and upgrading and unlocking will take out enemies for you. But you have sort of the added element of you have like a pickaxe and you're a miner and you can run around and like mine your way through different rock walls. And some of those rock walls will have like little ore veins that you can also collect different pieces of materials that once you're out of your run, you can then spend on like permanent upgrades. And then you go back in and do another run. And each run, there are like five different levels. And you take like, once you complete all the objectives on one level, you have 30 seconds to get in like the little ship thing and it'll take you down to the next level. And so you just like keep progressing through that. And it is
That's interesting.
Very much like a Vampire Survivors. It is just like super satisfying to constantly, even though a lot of the upgrades are like very incremental. They're like upgrades to your reload speed and your damage and your fire rate. And at certain, as you level up your character, you unlock an additional weapon slot. And I think you can have up to like four or five different weapons with you at any one time. But it's very
fun. Do they take ammo?
They do, but you're not, it's not a resource you have to pick up. And some of them are like elemental. Some of them are like grenades or something like that. And there's one dwarf that you get where he's basically like Torbjorn, where he automatically drops out these little turrets. Mm. And as you level those up, they can get these treads and they'll like follow you around, which is very nice. But it works a little bit like Vampire Survivors, where as you unlock other characters to play as, they'll have a different starting weapon. And then once you use them, that weapon will be like added to the pool of weapons that you can get for other characters as well. But yeah, it is very addicting. I think it looks much nicer, like visually, than Vampire Survivors. And I don't know. I've had a lot of fun playing it. And so I think it is something I will keep playing.
It's got co-op as well, right?
Oh, does it? I actually don't know.
I think you can play with a friend.
That's interesting to me. I wonder if it's only online.
That's a good question. I don't know.
I didn't see an option for it, but maybe it's in there and I just didn't.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe enough. That was just like on their roadmap or something.
Yeah, it is in early access. It's like $10. It's on Steam. Early access and playable on Steam Deck, and that's how I've been playing it. So very fun though. I definitely recommend it if you like Vampire Survivors like games. Anything else we've been playing, watching?
I watched that Argyle movie.
I have heard that's bad.
Yeah, it was weird. It was, I love Sam Rockwell. And there are some good Sam Rockwell parts in this where he like does a little dance and whatnot. I'll always show up for Sam Rockwell. But I don't know. It was weird. Parts of it were visually very interesting. And I guess it's also set in the extended Matthew Vaughn universe of Kingsman and whatnot. But I don't know. I didn't hate it. I don't know that I would recommend it. But I didn't hate it. If you're on an airplane, I don't think it's a terrible thing to watch.
Yeah, if you are forcibly subjected to it, you may not have the worst time.
Yeah. But an excellent description.
That is the recommendation. Don't seek this out, but if you are forced to watch it, you may not hate yourself for it.
Have you been watching anything?
Other than having recently watched The Sum of All Fears. And I don't think I've been watching much of anything else. I probably watched, because they're still dropping episodes of the Australian version of Taskmaster on the Taskmaster YouTube page. So every now and then I'll watch another episode of that. But other than that...
I am still watching Delicious in Dungeon, which continues to be great. It's releasing every Thursday on Netflix. A great little anime. I'm very excited for this season to conclude because I'm going to continue onward with the books. I'm going to read the comics, I think, after this season ends. But still great.
Oh, you know what I have been watching? So we talked maybe last week. I don't remember if it was on pod or off pod, but we talked about how my brother had recently started rewatching that old Hercules show.
Oh, yeah. Because
it's on Amazon Prime, the like 90s era Kevin Sorbo Hercules show. I started watching it too. And it is very campy.
Oh yeah.
And like the special effects are like, you know, made for TV 90s era special effects. And it is almost one of those things that if you're like one of those people that likes like Sharknado or like the, you know, sci-fi original movie type of thing, you could probably still get into this and still have a fun time with it.
Very much those vibes. It was so cheap back in the day to just have it benefits from it being in the past because everything is outside in the past and you can just like be on a hill in like a grassy plain.
Yeah, I think it was shot in New Zealand.
And makes sense to me.
Yeah, so it is like very heavy on like practical effects or whatever, but it is kind of a silly show, and it's like every now and then it's like they've hit their cue where they have to have a fight sequence. Like there is so much screen time, there must be a fight sequence, and here we go, it's time to fight. And like multiple times I have seen Hercules kick like the leg or knee of an enemy who's right in front of him and make the leg swing back and hit a different enemy behind that guy. And I'm like, that move probably wouldn't work, but it is hilarious that you guys keep using this move.
Have you gotten to an episode with Bruce Campbell yet?
No, I did see that he's in this.
He's my favorite character because he shows up a lot in Xena as well. He's like a kind of a bumbling Prince of Thieves, but he also has a bunch of gadgets, which I liked when I was a kid. He has like a mechanical grappling hook that I always coveted as a child, but he's great.
I did see there was at least one episode of the ones where Xena shows up. Famously, she shows up as like a recurring character in like three episodes. And I looked this up because I was curious about it. And supposedly they had planned to have her die on like the last episode that she was going to be in. But she was so well liked by fans of the show that not only did they decide not to kill her off, they gave her her own spinoff show. And that show probably became more popular than Hercules. So
she had a great game, too. I rented a game back when you could rent games at like Blockbuster, not to date myself. But I think I rented an N64 game or possibly a PlayStation 2 game. I don't know what era this would have been, where it was a Xena game. And I loved it because you had the ability to throw her little circle thing, her little, it's not a disc, it's like a ring kind of, And when you threw it, it would go first person into that thing, and then you could kind of steer it around. And I thought that was the coolest gameplay mechanic. And so I rented it like 4 times, but I never beat it because I didn't have a memory card. So I always have to start from the beginning. Is how it used to be in the old days.
In the olden days, the olden times. That reminds me, there was a James Bond game. I don't remember which one. It might have been The World Is Not Enough on like Nintendo 64, where it was like maybe the one of the first iterations for me of like sort of co-op survival, even though it wasn't designed to be that way. It was a little bit like in what's the other, not GoldenEye, but the one that's like a twin of that game. Perfect Dark.
Yeah.
Where like you could do like a multiplayer match, but you would just like turn on bots and you'd play against them. It was basically that, but set in The World Is Not Enough, and you could switch which weapons you wanted available. And so I would always do like explosives only. And so you'd have like grenade launchers, and one of the weapons was like a guided rocket that you could fire, and then you could steer that around. And it was very satisfying to like steer it around and find an enemy and steer it into them and have this cool big explosion. Yeah, a cool mechanic that does not get reused enough.
I think that Red Faction, the first Red Faction game, also had a gun that allowed you to do that.
I never played that one. The only Red Faction game I've played is Guerrilla, which was great, but I don't remember them having that in it. Anyway, on that note, do you have any parting wisdom?
Zach, I think we both enjoy this series, but it's not like tied to any platform anymore. It's just tied to the people making it. So it doesn't always pop up in my feed, but there is a new episode of Monster Factory that has released.
Oh, really?
And it is Starfield.
Oh, I'm going to have to check that out. I have not seen this.
It's a two-parter, so what they've been doing recently, I feel like I've seen this trend, is they'll release the first one, which is them making the character, and then the second episode is them playing with the character. And I think the second episode is going to be better than the first episode, because apparently Griffin downloaded a bunch of crazy mods for Starfield. So I'm very excited for the second episode's release, but the first episode is also really good.
Yeah, I will definitely check that out. I didn't know that was out, but I will.
Yeah, it's hard to like. It's not Polygon anymore, so it's not like it doesn't pop up. I subscribed to they have their own YouTube channel that is the McElroy family, and I had unsubscribed from it for a while because it's just sometimes it'll be just random stuff that I'm not interested in. But I wish there was a way where you could press the bell on just specific types of videos on a channel, but unfortunately, I don't think that exists.
It would be nice if YouTube would allow you to like subscribe to specific like playlists or something like that.
That's actually exactly what I would need.
And that would be a playlist that I would subscribe to if I could, for sure. On that note, go ahead and follow us on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter at Starside Cafe, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.